Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if I would go up and ask somebody, not somebody you know from church, but somebody from outside, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, and I was to go up there and ask them, who is, and I can name any one of you, what kind of answers would I get? Would they be nice answers? Would they be not so nice answers? Maybe it was somebody you got on the bad side of. Or maybe it would be just, they're a good person. They do good things. They're a hard worker. They're lazy. What kind of answers would I get? Would I get an answer? They are a Christian. They are a man or woman of God. What kind of answers would I get? If you were to go and ask somebody who I was, maybe go to one of the restaurants where I like to have my coffee and veggie omelet in the morning, or to another place, maybe go out to the Pizza Hut where I used to work, and ask them, who is he? What kind of answers would you get? Hopefully most of them will be printable. What if you went to some place where they know what I do, what this vocation is? What kind of answer would you get? If I was going to ask you, who am I? What kind of answer would you give me? Pastor. All right. So I'm a pastor. That's my vocation. And that's my position here right now at your church. But am I just a pastor? Or am I more than a pastor? Are you somebody who attends church? Are you more than someone who attends church? Who are you? Who am I? We're Christians. Thus, I would hope that someone would say, I'm a Christian, and they asked. But I'm also a husband, a father, a grandfather, a son, a brother, a cousin. And at different times of my life, I've been very many things. I'm not going to go run through all the vocations that I've had. We don't have time. But, you know, I would hope that people would say that I was nice, that I help people, that I care for people. Who do people say you are? What kind of descriptions would people have for you? We need to think about that. So Jesus comes and he asks his disciples, he's been with them a while, they've seen him do many things, and asks, who do people say that I am? And the answers are, some say you are John the Baptizer, come back to life, even though he didn't die very long ago and you were just a few months younger than him. Herod actually thought that Jesus was John the Baptizer, come back to life. You know, somehow he transformed into Jesus. Others would say he was Elijah, the prophet that disappeared into the clouds, went up to heaven, and they were expecting Elijah to come back. And a lot of people thought John the Baptizer was Elijah. But now people are saying that Jesus was Elijah. Or Jeremiah, who spoke the hard truth, and Jesus speaks hard truths. Or one of the prophets. Now, some of the people there would probably say he was a rabble-rouser. He was a troublemaker. He was the leader of this strange group. He was the one who was causing us problems, giving us headaches. And if you ask people today, who is Jesus, you might get all kinds of different answers, including the troublemaker, an insurrectionist, a problem child, a figment of your imagination, of our imagination. Some people will say that. Oh, he wasn't really a real person. He was, though. Okay. I'm just saying what some people would say, and I've just seen things recently about this. Or they will say, he was a teacher. He was a good person. You know, even those following Allah believe that Jesus was a good prophet, not as good as their prophet, but that he was. So you might get all kinds of answers today from people. Go up to someone on the street, who was Jesus? You might get a slew of different answers. Hopefully you'll get, Jesus is my Savior. He's the one who went to the cross to take away my sins. But if you don't get that answer, you might want to say, can we talk about Jesus? Talk about who Jesus really was? He's a real person. Not really was, really is. A real person. True God and true man. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you. But we might get all kinds of responses. So we could teach people who Jesus is. Now, he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And the disciples, Peter, the spokesperson, the one who talks the fastest, he comes up with this beautiful confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a beautiful confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I read a devotion the other day that said we should repeat, you are the Christ, and keep on repeating it. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Yes, Jesus is Lord. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for, the anointed one. You are the Son of the living God, not the dead God, but the living God, not the God made of idols, but the living God, not the God that we could make into a golden calf, but the living God. And that's who you are, Jesus. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is who is in heaven. Only the Father can reveal to us that Jesus is the Christ. I could tell this to you. I'm just flesh and blood. You can read it in the scriptures. The scriptures that God has made to be written for us, to let us know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Only the Father can reveal to us who Jesus is. And then we get, as Jesus continues to talk to Peter, and I tell you, you are Peter. We just said he was Simon Bar-Jonah, and now he just said, you are Peter. You are Petrus, the Greek name for Peter. You are Petrus, and on this Petra, rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this is where confusion comes in. Because at this time, the disciples are all listening in on this. And on this rock, I will build my church. Now, Peter is Petrus, masculine. Rock is Petra, feminine. And I will build my church, ecclesia, feminine. So it's not saying in faith, pistoios, feminine. It's not saying that I am building my rock on Peter, my church on Peter, but on the rock, his confession, his faith, the disciples' faith, our confession, he is building the church. The rock is our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ, the confession that we made today. And he's building our church on Peter's confession that Jesus is the Son, Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we continue to build the church on the confession of Peter, on our confession, on the confession of the disciples. Peter made a great, beautiful confession. That's for all of us. And God is building his church on this confession. He goes on, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And remember, he's talking to all the disciples now. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What's this referring to? Forgiveness. Whatever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whatever sins you do not forgive are not forgiven. And he's talking to this. This is the keys he's giving to the church, the whole church. And then you give to the pastor. As a church, you give to the pastor. So that's why I was able to say earlier today, I forgive your sins. Instead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I am not forgiving your sins. God is. I'm speaking the words that God speaks. And therefore, you have true forgiveness of sins. Because there are some who will say, what gives you the right to forgive people's sins? Well, right here. And again in John chapter 20, Jesus gives this right to the disciples and those whom the keys are given. So, your sins are forgiven when I speak those words. And after communion, when you receive communion, I say, go in peace, your sins are forgiven. This forgiveness comes from God, from the body and blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for you, and you are forgiven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not always easy to go out there and lead the godly life. Lead a life that people would say, look at you and say, oh, you're a Christian. You're a godly person. It's not always easy to do that. I know. Not always easy for me. It's not always easy at all. We want to go out and conform sometimes to the world and do what the world would want us to do. We'd rather go out instead of helping someone, leading a godly life, and helping someone for the benefit of our neighbors and for the glory of God. We want to go out and have fun and live as the world does. We want to say, oh, I'm just going to put this away for a day and go out and act like a fool We want to do that. We want to do that. We don't want to do that, but the devil wants us to lead to do that. When those times come, please turn to the rock, to Jesus Christ, and say, please help me. I have just had this evil thought, sinful thought come to my head. I want to take it out and lay it aside and tell it, that's okay, Jesus will take care of me. Look to Jesus. Look to the rocks in all times. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. It wasn't time yet for him to reveal himself to everyone. And then Peter made this beautiful confession that we made today ourselves. He is the Christ. Next week, we will hear Peter not making such a beautiful confession, because Peter is still a human being. So this will continue next week. I'm surprised they didn't put this together, but this put into 2 weeks of readings. But as we contemplate what Peter did next week, let us go out this week and remember this great confession that Peter made. And we go out, let us go out, where people will say, he's a good person because of his faith in Christ, and God has led him to be a good person. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.